out on 107.7 WTPL. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street in downtown Manchester. Give us a call at 866-823-1077. And joining us today, right now, is Mario Fiel of ManoFuel. He's the president and CEO of ManoFuel, where he creates authentic, homemade, artisan hot sauces and rubs from fresh, garden-grown ingredients. You can find them on the web at manofuel.com, and you can even find them on Amazon. So welcome, Mario, to
Thank
Food
you.
For Thought. We're so glad that you're here.
Thanks so much for inviting me.
Yes. I was introduced to Mario in a little different way. I was at the diner, you know, one day, a little bit after, I think it was right after Christmas, and Ellen, my waitstaff, says, "Oh, I have something for you." And I'm thinking, she has something for me. Like, okay, you know, and she handed me this bag, and there was a couple bottles of this hot sauce. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. I go, who? Well, she goes, yes, she says, it's a customer that came in and brought that for you. And I'm like, that is so nice. That was really nice.
Thanks so much. Well, I try to do that whenever I can. If I see a little bit of interest, I enjoy giving my products out for people to sample.
Yeah. Well, my brother, I know, is he'll be here soon. I texted him and said, the hot sauce guy's here.
Another name, yes.
It's the hot sauce guy. I'm actually working on a sample bottle. It's going to be like 1.7 ounce, and it's going to be fuel to go.
Fuel to go.
So carry it around.
That is cool.
That'll be great. So I'm working. I should have that out a couple of weeks. But as with everything, it's not just making the sauce. It's the labeling. It's making sure that, you know, the ingredients are consistent. So, I mean, I could have done things a lot differently, but I decided, you know, I'm going to do it the right way. And I looked for help everywhere, but that wasn't easy to find. So you just, when you're starting out as a business, it's really difficult, understanding the process, the workflow, and how business interacts with other business, wholesaling, everything like that. So it's been, I've had a lot of fun.
Well, you've got to have fun.
Yeah.
If you're not having fun, then, you know, really.
Right.
So, I mean, how did you get started with making hot sauces and dry rubs? Like, how did this evolve? How did you?
Well, I learned from my grandmother, and then I had a cousin that I used to make it with, and he passed away last year. my grandmother used to make it just a small batch, a little pumice stone, fresh garlic, the fresh peppers, little bit of olive oil, salt and pepper, and would just grind it right there on the spot. And it was more or less just enough for one meal, just a little dab. But when I was 2 or 3 years old, I was eating my bread with that. So I got used to it. I made it for maybe 12, 13 years. My daughter finally said, "Dad, how much money do you spend making this stuff?" And I said, "I don't know." "Why?" She says, "Just curious. Why don't you sell this stuff instead?" I said, "Well, okay." I started thinking about it and then finally did pull the trigger on. But as I said, it took a long time. Spent a lot of hours the last 2 years really working on designs. And my sons have helped me design the labels.
I think it's great. I mean, it pops right out at you. Rocket Fuel. I mean, it's an awesome name.
And I love also how that brings in the fuel part of it. And if we can talk a little bit about the name, because, of course, you're Mario Fiel, and I'm looking at the bottles, and we're thinking, okay, well, ManoFuel, what does that, what's the significance of the name? Can you share that story with
us? Sure. I used to work for an individual, a VP of marketing and sales, and he had the worst handwriting in the world. So he sent a fax in for a trade show last minute and filled out my name and information. When I got to the trade show, I picked up my name badge. I said who I was, and they couldn't find it. And I looked, and I saw it on the table, and I saw ManoFuel. I'm like, okay. So it stuck. My kids call me that. My friends, even people from the company, customers, know me as Mano. So that's how it all got started. Yeah,
that is a great story.
It is a great story. And listeners, you know, well, maybe some of the live audience that's here, but he is in this beautiful, you know, button-down black shirt with your logo right on it. It looks really, thanks. I mean, that pops right out at you. It's a really, really nice logo.
Thanks.
I love it.
I actually paid someone to design the logo.
Well, that's okay. Yeah.
But I love that the whole name came out of something accidental.
And yeah.
It ended up being
and
just
stuck.
Perfect.
It just stuck. Yeah. And I'm trying to really push the name. I understand and I know the importance of branding and getting that out there. And so the samples and that sample bottle is going to be an opportunity for me to give away as many as I can and get that out in front of people.
Definitely.
Sure.
Let's talk a little bit about the different flavors that you have.
Okay.
And how you came up with them. Like, you know, I mean, your grandmother's recipe, was it a certain recipe? Like, is it one of these ones that we have right here on the counter?
Yeah, my mother's recipe
is actually the original.
Rocket Fuel, the original. I started making it in larger batches with the same ingredients. I use everything. Typically, it's a combination of fresh and ground seasonings. So this will actually have fresh habaneros in it. And so I typically use fresh habaneros in all of my sauces except the new Picante Verde, which is a vegetable medium hot sauce, and that's that has jalapenos instead of the habaneros. And it's a base of tomatillos, spinach, ginger, all fresh, and it really came out much better than I thought it would. That's the best part. You know, you do your little samples, and you try the test recipes, a little crock pot or slow cooker, and put something in. Because the key is not to use flame or heat, because direct heat will burn the bottom of the pot. You get a little bit of a burnt taste to it, and I've had plenty where I made two gallons, have to throw it away.
Yes.
Just a slight little burn, and you can taste it. And then it becomes even more prevalent a couple of days later.
Right.
So if you're going to bottle it, you got to make sure that it's consistent. So I use a water-based, almost like a, what do they call it, steam cooker, where it's water-based and there is no direct flame. And it just gets to about 195 degrees, poured right into the bottle and sealed right away. I had to learn all of that process as well. I have a friend here in town who also makes salsa and barbecue sauce, and it's probably the best salsa you've ever tried.
I love salsa.
He's got 27 ingredients in his salsa, which is insane. But
that is.
Yeah, I just helped him make 20 gallons the other day, so it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of fun. I learned a lot from Doug. His name is Doug Rose. And he's been very helpful, very helpful.
Where do you make it? I mean, did you start in your home?
I did, but we have two kitchens that we utilize, professional kitchens that we utilize. One is a diner up in Hookset that's only open during lunch and breakfast, and then we have access to the kitchen afterwards. So there's many a late evening where we go in there at 5 o'clock and we don't get out of there until 2 or 3 or whatever. We use another kitchen that we've had access to for quite a while. That's also on the Manchester Hookset line.
Nice.
But we're talking about trying to find something more permanent, our own, where we don't have to lug a whole bunch of things around
to
set up, because that takes time, and then tearing down. And, you know, Doug and I are really meticulous about cleanliness as well, and that's really important to us. So we have to have a very sterile environment. And we're having a blast.
Good for you. My gosh, I think this is exciting.
And as we're talking with Mary Ophiel of Menno Fuel, I'm interested in knowing, actually the contrast, it would seem, between what you talk about when you're coming up with a batch or a different version of the sauce, like the salsa verde. And you said, it turned out better than I expected it to. So there is that sense of, okay, this is fun, it's adventurous, I'm going to try this. But then once you get there, ensuring that consistency so that it's a product that you can then sell and the consumer knows that they're going to get that. Talk a little bit maybe about those two aspects of coming up with the product.
Well, I'm in sales for a living. and a national sales director for a company nationwide.
Oh, so you do this on the side. This is your fun thing.
Yeah.
Just a hobby.
Just a hobby. It's actually taken up a lot more time than I thought, but that's okay. I'm having fun.
Yeah, good for you.
So I understand that you have to listen. If you're going to sell something, you really have to listen to people. You can talk and you can explain what you've got, but you have to listen. So people have told me the stuff you make is way too hot.
Mm.
Okay. So, and my girlfriend doesn't like any hot sauce at all. I mean, even smell it, and she's, you know, she does not like it. So I made the sweet sauce for her, which I can talk a little bit about it as well. But so I had some friends that told me, you know, I'd like to hit, can you try something a little less heat? And so I started thinking about it, and then I came up with the Calypso sauce, which is, it's basically, we start with mangoes, carrots, a little bit of ginger as well. There's some agave in it, all fresh. And it doesn't have any heat at all whatsoever. So then I took that base. And I got a pretty good reception with that product. So I took that base and added some habaneros to it and made the Calypso Sweet Heat. And that's gone over well. It's really, really good on, it's good on everything, but it's really good on salmon.
Oh.
So, and vegetables and all that. So, and I've got one Inferno Ghost hot sauce, which is actually the Bujaloka pepper from India. It was the hottest pepper in the world.
Wow.
But no longer is. And it's about 1 million on the Scoville meter. And the way a Scoville meter is a measurement of how many parts of something else would you have to put on your taste buds to put the fire out.
Wow.
Okay.
Ooh.
So
1 million?
Yeah, and there's actually someone that just grew a pepper in South Carolina called the Grim Reaper, which is 2 million on the Scoville meter.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah, it's really interesting to read about peppers and how people use them in different parts of the world. Like that pepper in India is used when you have a stomach malady, something wrong with your intestinal process. They actually give them the raw pepper, which induces fever immediately because your body is like, wait a minute. And that fever actually helps to cure the intestinal ill. So it's something that we in the United States we typically rely on the FDA. They've gone through all their tests and used whatever they've used to come up with final product. And European life and outside of the U.S., it's basically find something quick. You know, we don't have time for testing and everything else. So I got so involved with understanding what people do with peppers and how they cook with them. And so I've done really well with getting them into my friends' restaurants. I have a lot of friends in Hartford where I lived for about 30 years. And one friend who I visit his restaurant all the time, the first time I showed it to him, which was the Petey Petey sauce, he said, "I make my own." And my response was, "Of course you do. I'm not asking you to stop making your own. I just want you to try it." Well, 2 weeks later, he told me, "I'm never going to use any other hot sauce." So
that.
I'm like, "Well, what made you change your mind?" He said, I couldn't understand how you got the consistency, because I don't go for a lot of heat. I go for more taste than anything else.
That is the key. Yeah. It really is, because when it's too hot, it's not enjoyable.
Right.
You know?
You can't taste anything.
Right.
Yeah. If you want it hotter, put more on.
Right, exactly.
That's all I can say. But, I mean, typically for, you know, a teaspoon of sauce on a products, it isn't too bad. And it's just enough heat. The ghost sauce is really hot. But then my sons use it, and now that they use the ghost sauce, they say to me, "Hey, Dad, is the picante verde, did you change anything?" I said, "No, why?" it's not as hot anymore now that I've been using the other hot ones.
Wow.
So you just get used to it, you know?
You definitely. Oh, my goodness. We're going to take a short break, and we are in studio with Mario Fiel of ManoFuel, hot sauces and dry rubs. And when we come back, we are going to, I can't wait to start tasting these. So stay tuned. Food for Thought will be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought with Carol, and joining me is Jeannie Lester. We're live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, downtown Manchester. Come on down. You can come and have lunch at Midtown Cafe. And you can even come down to the studio and come and test some ManoFuel hot sauces if you'd like. Just come on down and knock on the window. We're right here. Seriously, I'm serious. So, and like I said, we have Mario Fiel of ManoFuel. He's the president and CEO of ManoFuel, where he creates authentic homemade artisan hot sauces and rubs from fresh garden-grown ingredients. You can find them on the web at manofuel.com, and you can even find them on Amazon. So we've been talking all about your delicious hot sauces, and now we're going to be tasting them. What did you think of them?
I tried first was the Picante Verde, and that was fantastic. Because it did. It has some kick. Carol's going to try some right now.
Yes,
it has a little bit of kick to me, but it has flavor. Mm. It has, it's not, just as you described, Mari, it's not overpowering. It doesn't take all of that away. It makes you want more, mm-hmm. but you know you've had something. It's just the right blend. And you can see that it's a green sauce, and it's got, I think you mentioned spinach and different things in it. That just really kind of round out that flavor.
You know what I taste when I taste it? Fresh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is so fresh tasting and tasty. Like, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. oh my goodness.
Yeah. Your mouth explodes, but with flavor, not just
flavor.
Senseless fire
exactly.
that shuts down your taste buds for everything else.
Exactly.
Yeah, most of the, one of the things I really wanted to prevent from doing was having a vinegar taste.
Mm-hmm.
You get so many sauces where you pour it on, and I mean, it's just vinegar, and that doesn't do anything for me. So, again, I listen to my friends and what they want, and that's where I got some of the stuff. Plus, I really like to eat.
me
that's
too.
That's key.
Don't come on Mondays then, Mario. Monday is healthy Mondays.
Oh,
we talk
yeah.
healthy stuff, so
you're always,
you don't want to come on Mondays.
Recuperating from the weekend.
Yes.
Yeah. Best part about it is cooking, and to me, the most fun is just opening up a bottle of wine and just what's in the fridge and
yes.
throw it all together.
It's
and,
fun.
Yeah, fun. Yeah, and that's basically
fun.
The same way I made the sauces. Try this, try that. And I can honestly say with every single batch that I tried, every single test that I made, I used all of it. I didn't throw it away.
Wow.
Because sometimes it would just reinforce over the course of time what I needed to change. So a lot of people try something once, throw it away, and they give up on it, and that's probably what you shouldn't do. So if you make
right.
a dish the first time, it didn't come out great, try it again. Because if it interested you the first time, it must have been a reason. So that's what I try to do with the sauces.
That's a good strategy.
It is a good strategy.
And it makes sense because then you're tweaking things to really make this your own dish that's going to have whatever you thought it was missing the first time.
It's true. Yeah. And how many times do you, you know, you try a recipe and you don't like it and
right.
it goes in the garbage.
Right. Yes.
Forget it.
That's what happens.
Instead of
yep.
trying it again.
Right.
And
just
so
changing some things up.
With my sales career, and I've had the opportunity of eating at a restaurant every single night of the week. I used to be on the road every single week. I was flying, and so everywhere I ate, anything that really made me want to have it again, I would always look at how it was made and try to figure that out, and then make it on my own. So I like doing that. I challenge myself, and
good for you.
I try to understand how it's prepared and all of that. So, and like I said, I really enjoy cooking. And so my kids love it because I just keep making more stuff for them to eat.
I bet. Now, you mentioned that you like cooking. Is there a go-to sauce or your go-to recipe for ways that you incorporate your product into the things that you cook as far as meats or whatever you do?
Well, there's a lot of the Portuguese traditions in my culture. It's is a lot of tendencies to start with the garlic and the olive oil. A lot of people use, Portuguese people use wine in their cooking, whether it be white or red. I'm watching Carol as she's trying one of the sauces, and she's like, wow.
That is so good. Peri-peri?
Mm-hmm.
Is it strong?
Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh. Okay. Yeah.
It is, but it's good.
You could actually taste the peppers. You can taste the peppers on your tongue.
And like I said, it tastes fresh.
Mm.
It's just the flavor is so good.
I make it in small batches. That's another thing. I mean, we do have access to a 40-gallon kettle, which is has a water-lined sealer all the way around it. And so we could make 40 gallons at one time. I've used it once or a couple times. I prefer to make 5 gallons or less at a time. It's more consistent. It's a small batch, and it's very, very, very good.
Having a hot flash.
That is.
Is my face red?
That is hot. Not yet.
Not quite.
I'm having a little
You've got
more.
A rosy glow.
That is.
And then you're going
good.
Back for more. So that right there is the test.
It's delicious.
That is awesome on chicken.
It must be.
Well, again, because I think it would add flavor and a little bit of fire without overpowering the chicken.
I marinate sometimes in the sauce and then put more on while I'm cooking, and then I dip in it when it's cooked already too. So I really like the flavors. Now that's the PD-PD you're using. So that has a combination of habaneros in it as well, and PD-PD peppers.
PD-PD. That's how
I think that's the pronunciation.
Well, actually, you said peri-peri, and it's interesting. The British call it peri-peri. Okay, and this is another, how do I explain this one? I'm going off on a tangent, but the Portuguese have a lot of connection to the British because of the colonies and the navigation throughout the world and discovery and everything else. Plus, the British are known for port wine, but the Portuguese make it.
Interesting.
So there's a connection there. And so the Piti Piti pepper is typically grown in Africa, Mozambique, where I had some relatives that actually brought it to me from Portugal, in Portugal. And the British call it peri peri. And there's an outfit by the name of Nando's. I'm not giving them a plug, but they have a chain of restaurants throughout the country here in the U.S. Not that many in the U.S., more over in Europe and Africa. And they make their own sauces as well. But all of their sauces has a lot of citrus taste to it. And that, again, is a good product on meats and whatever. But I personally don't like the citrusy flavors, but they are very good.
Nice. So as we're talking about the different variations of sauces and the things that you do, so when you complete one and you think, okay, this is great, it goes out to market, it's flying off the shelves, is it at that point that you think, okay, now I want to try? I mean, are you already churning with some ideas for where you're going to go next?
Good question.
I'm pretty close to, I mean, I'm not sure what I'm going to hear from people for suggestions. So I can't really say I'm planning anything other than the little sample bottles that I'm thinking of doing and the fuel to go.
I think that's a great idea.
I'd love to have everybody have a bottle in their pocketbook or in their pocket.
Love
and just,
Martin.
You know, little dash on your food whenever you go somewhere. I've been in restaurants where I've had my own sauce, and I've actually turned around and given it to a client or somebody else eating at a table next to me and just leave them the bottle.
That's
so
cool.
Instead of leaving a 5-ounce bottle, I can just leave a 1.7
exactly.
ounce.
Exactly.
Sure. Or make little pocket protectors with a little sleeve for the bottle, and that could be the latest fashion trend as well.
The keychains, that's great.
Barrettes.
Hadn't thought of that. Barrettes. Okay.
Barrettes.
Wow.
A necklace. There's a reason he hasn't made me his marketing.
I'd wear it on a bracelet.
There you go.
I would. Mario, thank you so much for coming on to Food for Thought. It was great. I'm very excited. We may be partnering together. You may be seeing Mano Fuel and Red Arrow Diner. I think that would be very cool.
That'd be great. Thank you very much for taking the time and let me have a few moments to explain my stuff.
Definitely.
Thank you for sharing it with us.
Yes.
Thank you.
And you're listening to Food for Thought, and we will be back with a little later on with Julie Barron of Make-A-Wish New Hampshire. Stay tuned. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. Come on down. We still have time for lunch. And come and watch the show.
There is quite a show going on. You know, it's people can tell when you're having a good time at work. And that is not a bad thing. And we've got lots of course, there's food around. Good conversation. But and Carol, I am so proud of you. You're being so healthy. She's been eating fruit today and, you know, really doing a good job.
Kayla made a brownie from Monroe, and it was made out of black beans.
Ooh.
Black beans and oatmeal in it, and it was really good.
See, I'm a big fan of black beans. Now, I've never had it in a brownie. How was it?
I mean, when she came into my office and asked me if I wanted to try it.
Oh, okay. Did that make you nervous just right there?
Well, I was a little nervous, but it was really good. It was actually really, really good.
Wow. Very good. I love black beans. Now, Carol's wondering what I'm doing. I have this trick, and you are all going to thank me for this. If you feel a sneeze coming on and it's not appropriate to sneeze, such as being on the air, or my whole family laughs at me for this. You just put your finger on the end of your nose and very lightly push in. My kids made fun of me. Yes.
I never knew that.
My son.
I remember what you were doing.
My son. Usually people don't bother to ask me, but my son actually was able to use that. They were taking like a very intense test. I don't know if it was SATs or something. And he had this giant sneeze coming on. And he said, "Mom, I was desperate enough that I tried your little trick and it worked." So next time you have to, that's what I was doing. I was trying not to sneeze on the air because that's not a pretty sound. So anyways, back to black beans. I've never tried them in brownies. It sounds fantastic.
It was different.
But I bet. And I bet it was like, dense. They looked, yes. And I like that though in a brownie, like something fudgy and dense and just, you know, that you can really.
Another great thing to make sweets with is avocado.
Ooh, really? Doesn't that help with the moisture? Avocado has some natural fat in it as well. And
my
just
sister-in-law
kind of,
has made a chocolate pudding with avocado.
Nice. It's very good.
Oh, my goodness. I never heard of that. Yeah. Interesting.
And you tell children that it's a brownie with black beans or a pudding with avocado.
Mm. Yeah.
And they're like, touching that.
Yeah. Right.
But I have pretty good kids. They'll try anything. And they liked it.
Oh. Yeah. Wow. I usually resort to the tell them after they've taken those first couple of bites.
Don't
tell
them. Yeah. Exactly.
I've resorted to that as well.
Yeah, okay. But yeah, black beans, how versatile. I mean, because I even love just you put a little bit of oil in a pan, some garlic and some onions, and then some black beans and just kind of get those going together. And it's simple, but it's so filling and flavorful.
It is.
It's really good. And that makes a nice side dish as well.
Sounds good.
So you just saute the black beans right out of the can?
Yeah. I rinse them first.
Okay, rinse them.
So first I start with some good Celeste olive oil.
Of course.
In the bottom of the pan. And then add some onions or scallions or something like that to give it a little bite. And then, of course, you want garlic.
I was gonna say, definitely garlic.
Yeah, some good amounts of garlic. And then rinse those black beans off. Add the black beans in. I mean, you could add a couple other things, but for me, it really doesn't need anything else. And it's just a really nice, filling, flavorful, either bite.
I'm going to try that tonight. Actually.
It really
I've
is
never
good.
Thought of that. Nice to
It's really good. Yeah, it's simple but filling, which is key.
And it's not soup either.
And it's not soup. That basket now is mocking me.
Oh, I bet it is.
That June put together to kind of help me with my soup making abilities. But now, you know, that's caused me to look at everything in my pantry differently. And I just keep looking and asking, why would anybody make this? Why would this need to be made from scratch when it's all right here perfectly easy? But no, that's not true. There's a lot of satisfaction when you put something together and it's really fantastic.
And I do think it always tastes better made from scratch.
It does. Yeah, it does. You really can taste that flavor difference.
Tracy, you do not know what she attempted to make a soup last week, and she brought it in.
And which demonstrates me being a very good sport and trying to follow the advice I was given, because these ladies said, oh, it's really basic. All you do is throw these ingredients together. You can put anything you want into your soup.
So how did she do?
if you put a spoon into it, the spoon didn't move.
That's a good hearty soup.
Thank you.
Well, you know what she did? I think this is so funny. This is the best part of it all. When she had, you know, like her broth and everything, and she went to go put some starch in. She put some rice in. So she put some rice in, and then she, you know, stirred it. And she was like, where's all the rice? So she put more in. And then, it's like,
it's like paste. Yes. Yes. But, it was an interesting experience. And then it goes back to what we were saying before about if something goes wrong, you should want to try it again and just tweak what went wrong so that you can do a better product the next time.
Right.
But of course, now I've been so shamed and we've brought it up daily. I mean, when did I bring that soup in, for Pete's sake?
It was days ago.
Oh my goodness.
It wasn't that many days.
I'm traumatized. I'm have a syndrome of some sort.
I have a good soup recipe for you.
Okay.
It's easy and anybody can make it.
Good. I will have to get that from you because I've been instructed from June and from Carol not to try it on my own, that I need a recipe.
Okay. You are listening to Food for Thought, and we will be right back after this short break. We'll be right back.